The scripture reading today is from Acts of the Apostle, chapter 2, verses 5 through 21, which can be found in your pew Bible, starting on page 885. Hear the word of the Lord. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under the heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speak in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors of Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speak about God's deeds of power. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet of Joel. 'In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and smoky mist. Then the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" The word of the Lord.
Let us bow before God together in prayer. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, who inspired all scripture, breathe now into the human words that are spoken, so that each of us this day may hear a word from you, which comforts us and challenges us and moves us along the path you intend us to follow through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Over the past few months in our Sunday morning sermons, we've been looking together at the story of the early Christian church in the first days and months and years after Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. We're trying to get back to the roots of the church to look at our foundation. Our goal is not to pretend that we are them, to try to live back where they lived, but nevertheless, we are based upon the foundation that they have set, and we want to look at that foundation and make sure that we're building in the same kind of way as they did then. And we're able to do this because we have in the Bible a book called The Acts of the Apostles, and it's through this book, The Acts of the Apostles, that we're focusing on the life of the early church. We just have a few more weeks to go in our series, but since this is the day of Pentecost, first 50 days after Easter, that's what Pentecost is. And since the first day of Pentecost was the day in which God poured out his Holy Spirit on the lives of the first Christians and brought them together as a church, I thought that instead of progressing sequentially through Acts, we would, in a sense, have a review of major themes in the Acts of the Apostles, focusing on the work of God's Holy Spirit. We see the Holy Spirit mentioned throughout the Acts of the Apostles. In fact, I'd like to ask you to pull out the insert that you have in your bulletin. You will see that there are over 60 references to the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit in the Acts of the Apostles. So much so is the Spirit prominent in that book that some people say the book shouldn't be called the Acts of the Apostles at all, the Acts of the followers of Jesus, Peter or Paul or anybody else, but really it should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, who is the one who empowers all the people, all the apostles, all the disciples who follow in the path of Jesus Christ. And I think there's some truth and value to this. Of course, God's Holy Spirit didn't suddenly come into operation on the day of Pentecost as if there were no Spirit until then. If we look back to the opening verses of the book of Genesis in the first chapter, in fact, the Spirit of God is mentioned right there. God creates something out of nothing, but there is what we might call primordial chaos. And it's the Spirit moving over all of the waters who brings order out of chaos and beauty out of what is there, and meaning and purpose and significance out of all of this. The Spirit is at work in the whole of the created order and in human lives as well. Though when we look at the teaching of the Spirit in the Old Testament, we find that the Spirit's work seems to be fairly limited and focused on God's ancient people and on some particular people, usually men, within God's ancient people, empowering them to serve in one capacity or another. But within the same part of Scripture, the Old Testament, we have this prophecy that was part of what we read in Acts chapter 2 from the prophet Joel that speaks of a day to come in the future after the Messiah has come in the last days or the latter days. Some people read that phrase and they think that's just the last week or so of life here on earth. But actually, if you look at the way that phrase is used in Scripture, it refers to the whole period of time from the coming of the Messiah to the end of time. And with the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. So we are in that period, the latter days. And Joel says that in the latter days, God will pour out His Spirit, not just on His ancient people, but on people from every tongue and tribe and nation, not just to Jews, but to people like us, Gentiles, not just to men, but to women, not just to the young and strong, but to the older ones as well, not just to the seemingly important people, but to those at the bottom of the social scale as well. So Joel puts it like this. He says, and we heard this a moment ago, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit, says God, upon all flesh. All flesh means people of every tongue and tribe and nation. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even upon my slaves, both men and women in those days, says the Lord, I will pour out my Spirit. In other words, all kinds of people will find their lives changed by the presence of the Holy Spirit in the world and in their lives. The way they look at life, their visions and their dreams will change. The way they speak and use their tongues, prophecy in the New Testament does not just refer to foreseeing the future. It refers to forthtelling God's word. So every time, in a sense, that we use our tongues for God, we are prophets of God. So the Spirit comes to change the way we speak and the way we see the world around about us, moving us in God's direction. And this happens when the Spirit comes to live inside us. And this is really foundational to the meaning of the day of Pentecost and what happened on that day. When anyone puts their trust in Jesus Christ, anyone as Savior and Lord, then God says, good news. You have not just done something by that affirmation of faith, but I'm going to do something as well. I'm going to pour my Spirit into your life and claim you as my own. I don't just want to live around you. I don't want to just live in the world as a whole. I want to live inside you as well. And it's a promise that when we trust God made known in Jesus Christ, when we believe that on the cross He died to wash our sins away, when we hand over our lives to Jesus as Lord, and a Lord is somebody to whom you give control of your life, the path of your life, when we do that, God wants to enter in, take up residence, never to leave us alone again. Last week, one of the themes mentioned by the youth, and some of us here were privileged to hear our youth speak last Sunday, Youth Sunday. One of the themes that came up from time to time was on loneliness and a sense of isolation. Even if we're surrounded by lots of people, it's at epidemic proportions in our society. But what God says is this: I want to enter into a relationship with you that nothing and no one can ever sever, to give you myself intimately forever, so that you need never, ever be lonely. This is a wonderful truth that I experienced for the first time when I was 13 years of age at a summer camp. And on this truth, my life ever since that time has depended, and so too my ministry to this very day. Though what I have to admit to you or say to you is this, that I myself have never experienced quite the same things that those disciples experienced on that first day of Pentecost. No huge tongues of fire, no taking of my tongue, and gosh, I wish it were true when I was learning Latin. The gift of tongues to speak another language. Never had anything happen exactly like that in the way that it happened on the day of Pentecost. Here again, the words with which in our service, Quinn opened the service. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, Jesus' friends. They were panicky. They were scared. They'd run away. They'd come back together. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And this was evident because they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. It was unforgettable. It was unmistakable. But I have to say to you, I've never had such an experience as this. And there were times when I was a younger Christian when this really bothered me, thought there was a problem. Maybe I wasn't a real believer. Maybe the Holy Spirit wasn't really at work in my life as the Holy Spirit had been at work in the life of those first disciples. I really hadn't had an experience like them. And there were some people who came across my path who told me that this was the case, that unless I had the same kind of experience as those who were followers of Christ in the day of Pentecost, then I really wasn't quite on the inside with God as I ought to be. And this bothered me for quite a long while, until I kept reading more in the pages of Holy Scripture and reading more about the work of God's Holy Spirit throughout the length and breadth of Scripture, and reading more as well about God's Holy Spirit in the Acts of the Apostles that we are looking at just now, in the lives of those first Christians. And what became clear was this, that while at times the Holy Spirit works in these remarkable, miraculous, overt ways, it's just not always the case. It is so important for us to remember that God is at work in the ordinary every bit as much as in the extraordinary, in the extraordinary. Indeed, it's the order of creation that we explore in the scientific world that we live in. If it weren't for order, our lives would be an utter mess. Those people whose lives are chaotic are have hard lives to live. God works in the order, as well as breaking up the order when it becomes sterile. And this became clear in the working of the Holy Spirit as well. And some other things began to emerge, and I want to share them with you today because I think there are signs on which we can depend when it comes to knowing that the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives in the same way as the Holy Spirit was at work in the lives of those first disciples. So these are the things I want you to remember this morning. When the Spirit is present, and the Holy Spirit is the same as the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ or the Spirit of Jesus, these are interchangeable within the Bible. When the Spirit is present, The Spirit changes our convictions, works in our minds with our convictions. The Spirit changes our character, and the Spirit changes our capacity to serve God effectively. Our capacity to serve God effectively, our character, and our convictions. Let's think first of all about those convictions, and let me take you out of the world of the early church to the 1700s and to the life of John Wesley, and actually before him a couple of hundred years, Martin Luther. 280 years ago, in fact, this coming Thursday, May the 24th, John Wesley had an experience of the Holy Spirit which changed his life and the lives of millions of people after that, a conviction in his life. So on that day, in about 5 a.m, Wesley got up. He usually got up around 4 o'clock, opened his Bible, came across these words in 2 Peter chapter 4. "There are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, even that we should be partakers of the divine nature," that God would pour his nature, his Spirit, into our lives. And he received this, as it were, as if it were for him, the Word of God, which it was. That evening, in this day in which he was filled with this initial conviction from Scripture, he reluctantly attended a meeting in Aldersgate, London. Someone was reading from Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. Luther had said when he read Romans, especially chapter 1, "The just shall live by faith, not by works," he said that he had a new conviction too. He felt himself to be reborn and to have gone through an open door into paradise, a conviction that changed his life and the course of our history. Wesley says about this experience of hearing the preface to the Epistle to the Romans read, he says, "That evening at about 8:45 p.m., while the preacher was speaking about Romans and about how God works in the human heart through faith in Christ," he says, "I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given to me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death." And it wasn't just a fleeting feeling. It was a conviction that he carried with him into the rest of his life and his ministry that empowered him on his way. There are two convictions here in both Luther and Wesley. One of them is the conviction that the same Spirit who inspired Scripture still speaks today. And the early disciples had that conviction. And if you want to look at the early disciples, the best way, by the way, is just to look at that insert, because I've got scattered verses from Acts reflecting on these very thoughts written there. The same Spirit who inspired the Scripture, and the first Christians believed that the Scripture was inspired by God, takes that word and brings it to us as if it's a direct word of God to us today. That's how the Spirit works. Worked with Wesley and Luther in that way, works with us in that way, worked with the early Christians that way. And then, within that Scripture, this knowledge that Jesus died, not just a story of something that happened in the past and rose again, but a knowledge that God brings into our lives as if we were the only ones he died for. He died for me. And when we know that, the world changes. Change for Wesley, change for Luther, change for the first Christians, change for countless Christians ever since. And if you've had that conviction, even just a touch of it, know that that's the Holy Spirit and pray for more of it. Pray for more of it. This is a sign of God at work that each of us needs to know within our lives. So the Spirit brings us a strong conviction. But not only that, that strong conviction leads to a change of character. Not that our character is changed overnight, some people it is, but we're on a journey, and Christ's character is our destination. We call it sanctification, and we're on that path towards Christ. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can get further along that path than we could ever possibly conceive to begin with. The early disciples were scared out of their wits when Jesus died, but they were given a spirit of boldness. The early disciples didn't know what to believe. when Jesus was taken away, but they were given a spirit of faith. The early disciples had very little education, but they were given a spirit of wisdom. And in the midst of great suffering, those first disciples were given a spirit of great joy. That's one of the major themes in Acts, that the first Christians found a great joy in believing the love of God made known to them in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul sums up this change of character in words he writes to the Galatians in chapter 5, when he speaks of what he calls the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the Spirit is at work. God is going to work in these areas of our lives, transforming us so that we move in the direction of Jesus Christ. Not that we get there all at once, but that we can know a victory in parts of our life that wouldn't have been possible if God were not living inside us by the Spirit. Former Archbishop of Canterbury, William Temple, puts it like this. He says, "It's no good giving me a play like Hamlet and telling me to write a play like that. Shakespeare could do it. I cannot. No good showing me a life like that of Jesus and telling me to live a life like that." There are many people, by the way, who think that that's what Christianity is. Here's Jesus, here's us, let's try harder to be like him. Well, I hope we do, but we cannot do it. It's way too much for us to handle. Jesus can do it, we cannot. But if the spirit of Shakespeare lived inside us, maybe we could write something that looks a little bit like Shakespeare. And if the spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, should live inside us, and this is what God gives to us, then perhaps we can move along the path to Christ, not just by trying hard, but by trusting in God's power at work within us in ways that were inconceivable before. The Holy Spirit comes to change our character, and we need to know in our lives a change in conviction that leads to a change in character, and that we're moving on this path towards Christ, empowered by a power greater than ourselves. And then in the third place, one of the signs of the Holy Spirit, an inescapable sign for all Christians, and these are for all Christians, is that when the Spirit is present, the Spirit changes our capacity to serve God effectively, Early Christians were called by the risen Jesus to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and around the earth. If I were one of those disciples, I might have turned to Jesus. Well, I hope I wouldn't, but I might have turned to Jesus and said, "Jesus can't do that. I'm just a local boy from up the road, no training, no background. You want me to be your witness, your hands and your feet in this world? After you've gone, you're not here in flesh and blood to hang around and help me in that same old way? No possible way that I can do that for you." I think if I'd said that to Jesus, Jesus would say, "You're right, you can't." So he would say, "Wait. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes into your life and gives you a power to do what would have been inconceivable before, to serve me effectively in this world as my witnesses. Wait for that power and your lives will change." And this is the context. This is the context in which I now read the story of Pentecost and the gift of speaking in tongues and all the fire and flames and everything else that goes on in that day. Here are these disciples, just local folks from up the road. And God is saying to them, "Here is the world. Go into the world and make disciples. And the first gift I give you, the sign that I will empower you for whatever ministry comes your way, is the gift of languages of people from throughout the world who need to know of the love and grace of God made known in Jesus Christ. Whatever gifts you need, I will give to you." That's what they needed then. What we need now may be the same, or it may be different. But the promise in Scripture that the Apostle Paul affirms is that to each of us is given the manifestation, the particular manifestation for the common good that we need and that others need through us. So we need great faith to fulfill our ministry. The Spirit will give that to us. We need the ability to lead and manage projects. The Spirit will give that to us and gave those gifts to the early Christians as well. We need to be able to speak to others about our capital campaign or our teaching in Sunday school, or to be a colleague working with others in whatever daily work we've got. God wants to empower our lips and give us the gift of appropriate tongues for whatever ministry that may be. I believe that that is the gift, in fact, that he gave to a man by the name of Bill Spence, who retired from many years as a professor. Maybe 20, 30 years ago he retired. This is Bill Spence's story. Norman Vincent Peale tells the story like this. He says, when Bill Spence was a young boy growing up in Minnesota, he had a significant stammer, a stutter, which was highly embarrassing to him. Whenever he was in a classroom and a teacher would ask him to answer a question, it just went straight down into his soul, this sense of embarrassment as he tried to answer. And he knew that his school friends were all laughing at him. In fact, at times they would ask him questions just to hear him stutter, and then they would laugh. Children can be cruel to each other. We can be cruel to each other. So he found himself more and more heading away from others and reading. Well, there's a good foundation to be a professor. Began to read. God used this awkward moment in his life. And he found a job where he didn't have to interact with anybody else. The job was in a church, not as a pastor, but, and this took place when he began, maybe 50, 60 years ago, could have been a little longer than that, he took a job as the person who lit the boiler at 3 o'clock in the morning. And on a Sunday morning at 3 o'clock, he went to the church, and there he lit the boiler. This is winter in Minnesota, and he was all by himself. And he waited there until the sun would rise and people would begin to come. He did this faithfully week after week. And then one day, early in the morning, while he was waiting after lighting the boiler, something happened. Bill picked up a hymnal, the story goes, and began to read some familiar hymns. He knew most of the hymns by heart. But now, for the first time, he paid attention to the words. Impulsively, he began to read the words aloud, and suddenly, after a few minutes, he realized he wasn't stuttering. In amazement, he listened to his words, clear and perfectly defined, and they reverberated throughout the cold, empty church, surrounded by the rays of the rising sun shining through a colorful stained glass window. He looked up, and there saw a figure of Jesus in the window, who seemed to be looking down on him and smiling and saying, Bill, speak in my name and don't be afraid. And since that morning in church, Bill Spence never again stammered or stuttered. He completed his career as a college professor, trained to read, trained to speak, gifted to do those things by the one who was his Savior and friend, who came to live within him by the Spirit. I think that's the gift of tongues for a particular purpose. There are other purposes, but the gifts God gives equip us with a capacity that we do not have in ourselves to do the work of God effectively. The gift God gives changes our character on the path towards the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gift God gives changes our convictions about Scripture and who Jesus is and his place within our lives and what he has done for me. And when the Spirit is here, we know these things. Oh, we know them. And if you do know this, pray for more of it. And if you don't, then this day of Pentecost is as good a day as any to pray for the first time that such a conviction as this, such a change in character as this, such an increase in capacity to serve as this, would be ours for the glory of God. Let us pray. Holy God, come by your Spirit. Live inside us, not just around us, so that we would be wholly yours in our minds, with our convictions, in our actions, with our character, and in the ways that we serve you. So increase our capacity to love and serve you. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you.